This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Family Feud, part of the Paris Style podcast family. They might not be brother and sister, but they sure do fight like they are. Here's your hosts, Keely Orr and Shotgun Spratling.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Feud podcast. I'm your host, Keely Orr, joined by Shotgun Spratling and cousin of the pod, Chris Trevino, who just let out a big yawn.
I just got really yawny all of a sudden.
Apparently the bye week did not rest you up. Well, clearly.
Was that a yawn or a silent roar? Come on, Chris, sell it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But no, I'm just going to have to stick with the yawn. And side note, programming note, I don't want to talk a lot. Got my wisdom teeth out.
You did. It wasn't a very restful bye week
for you. I'm still a little sore on the left side, so I'm going to let you guys kind of carry this one, that's okay.
That's going to be different.
All I'm running on is liquids and baked beans. That's all I can eat right now. So I'm very weak. Don't want to talk a lot, so
why
take it away, guys.
Why baked beans?
Because baked beans are slimy.
Ew.
And they can just slide down your gullet.
You got to get that white bean puree Mama. Good stuff.
Yeah. All I had was baked beans. So.
Okay. Good to know. Well, like I said, we're coming off the bye week. So we're going to take a comprehensive look at USC's first half of the 2021 season. We're going to have some six-game stock up, stock down. We're going to answer some questions that you have. And then I believe, Chrissy T, despite your excuses that you are tired or whatnot, you brought a full take or leave
it. First of all, I don't have excuses.
Not excuses. Valid reasons.
You said excuses.
I don't know why I did.
And I don't know why I'm talking. I'm not talking this episode. I'm just resting.
So last episode you weren't funny. In this episode you're just not talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great representation of what has happened these last 2 weeks.
Cool. As a reminder, you can send us submissions or questions to the pod at familyfeudpod@gmail.com. You can also look out for a tweet from Shotgun Spratling, usually on Tuesdays in the morning. That's when we record. So be sure to do that. We love hearing from you guys. Like I said, we're coming off a bye week. We sound very tired for a group that should have been rested, but you know, Chris lets out another yawn.
This is three right now. I don't know what's happening.
It's okay. It's that time of year.
Okay.
Yawn tracker. That's true. So we got some stock up. I don't know if it was hard for you guys to come up with some stock up. There's some pretty obvious ones, but Shotgun, I want to toss it to you first. Stock up, who you got?
I'm going to start with Clay McGuire, the offensive line coach. I think the offensive line is improved from where they were last year and definitely where they were in 2019. Now, are they great? No. Are they, you know, are they leading the team or anything? No. Have there been some rough patches? Definitely. And that's going to happen when you have two freshmen that had a handful of snaps in last year to come in, those two redshirt freshmen, and try to put them at both the tackle positions. But I think the interior linemen are playing really well. You know, it's kind of been up and down on the tackle spot, but I think the offensive line as a whole, you're not having those big communication breakdowns where, you know, Keaton Slovis is just taking huge hits or anything right up the middle like we had seen in the past in 2019. So I think that Clay McGuire has done a good job with what he's been given. You know, it's not great, but I think it's much improved from where it was when he came in, and especially from 2019.
I completely agree. I also really appreciate the effort that he gives that we can see in practice. Like, you and I have both noticed that every rep he has something to say to someone. You know, he's always involved, always engaged. And so I've been on the Clay McGuire beat so this whole season. Not on purpose, but it just ended up happening.
I think you need to explain that one to people.
So after practice, we always get to request people. And I just started requesting Clay McGuire. I was in the first scrum that he had as a Trojan coach. And so I asked like the majority of the questions in that scrum, and I was like, oh, he kind of gave insightful answers. And I was like, I might as well go next week. And then I just kept going. And now we kind of have a little bit of rapport where I can just kind of pick his brain a little bit on offensive line issues. So
yeah. Every week Keely interviews Clay McGuire, basically. So if we have any questions, they have to be filtered through Keely. I mean, like, Keely, always, we need you to ask these questions for us.
If you guys want to take over the beat, you can. But
Keely's like, stay away. No. This is my territory.
Not truly, but yes. Chrissy T, stock up who you got.
I just wanted to add something quickly to
that.
I kind of did midseason grades, and I kind of graded the O-line as a C-plus around that area. And I would say last year you could tell, and I know you maybe C-plus isn't the greatest grade, but I think that's where they're at. And compared to last year, that's a huge improvement. Because last year I had them like somewhere like maybe a D or something. They were that bad or that inconsistent.
And that's with a first round pick at left tackle.
That is with a first round pick at left tackle. And you know, through six games this year, they've only allowed 7 sacks, which is tied for number 2 in the Pac-12. 6 games last year, 24 sacks. So there is big improvement. And even with the PFF grades, you can see a lot of guys are having big jumps in their grades. I know PFF grades are not the end all be all, but they're a nice little indicator. And I would be really, I would have been very curious to see what like an elite high end offensive line prospect would have looked like in this. If they had like, you know, a top 4-star tackle or a 5-star tackle in the wings that was waiting to take over the left tackle spot this year, what it would look like. And yes, tackles have been consistent, but I have hope that down the stretch, they're going to get a little bit more consistent after getting, you know, the growing pains out through the first 6 games. But for my stock, is what you initially threw it to me for. I had the run game, which kind of goes into play with everything going on here. USC obviously struggled last year. One of the bottom teams in the nation, did not average over 100 yards per game last year, about 97.33 last year. Just 118, I think, just absolutely terrible, especially from a school that is known for producing rushing attacks and running backs. And this year, you know, it's not, you know, a top 25 rushing team, but they're in the top 100. They've made progress. I think they're sitting about at 130, 120, which is a development. You know, riding that Keontae Ingram, who's taken over as that lead back, I think they're a lot more potent. They've been a lot more efficient, and they've had a lot more big plays than they did a year ago. So all those things give me that overall stock up.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing and the thing that's been missing and still missing a little bit is that explosive play. But we've seen that the last couple of games, which is a good indicator that, you know, hopefully they're starting to figure out ways to get that. And I think that comes down to, it's been the biggest single word used all season is finish. If they finish their blocks at the second level, some of those runs that are, you know, they're getting some quality 10 to 15 yard runs, but can those become 25, 40, 50, 80 yard runs that can be game changers? And I think that's one of the things that has been missing, but we've seen a couple indicators the last couple of weeks now. One, it was Colorado, but they did have that long run by Keontae Ingram to get down inside the red zone. So, you know, 53-yard run there. And then he followed up last week, a 28-yard run against Utah to start off a drive. So, you know, I think that I actually had run game initially. I started to write that down. Then I was like, let me give credit to Clay McGuire instead of just the run game. But I think he's definitely played into that. They are being more efficient. I think that's a great word. And I think when they're running the ball is when their offense has been at its best. So it's surprising to me to see them go away from the run game at times when it seems like that's been the key this season. When they're running the ball, they're staying more balanced. They've been a better offense, but you know, they decide at a certain point, like, oh, we got to go away from this. We're down too many points in these home games that they keep losing and get blown out. So I think that's been a downfall for the offense is when they decide to just abandon the run because it's too late. We're behind by too many points when it doesn't seem like that to me.
So this is an obvious one, but I had Drake London for stock up. At this point, he has 64 receptions for 832 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's the second leading receiver in the nation as far as yards per game. He's the first in the Pac-12. Now, this is a crazy stat I found. He leads the Pac-12 in yards from scrimmage. The next 6 players are running backs. Like, it's just, he's a beast. We know it. We see it every day. I mean, Chris, I think you already have your program tweets each week on Saturdays for, you know, Drake London reactions, because there's always something incredible that he's doing. You're just like, hey, okay, he leaped over a player. He had a blinded one-handed catch at Colorado, you know? So I think he's just proven his stock, especially because, and we called this coming into the season, the chemistry with the wide receivers outside of Drake London is just not there. So USC has had to rely on him even more because of that. And he just proves how valuable he is anywhere in USC's offense in that sense.
All right, Chris, I want you to think about this. What's your favorite Drake London stat? She just gave one. I think a very interesting one is that he's actually 17th in the nation in all-purpose yards, which usually that only goes to returners. Hey, you're a good player, but you also return the ball, and you know, you're getting 25 yards each kickoff return. You know, you're getting 5, 10, 15 yards on a punt return. You add those to your yardage totals, and it really adds up. He's 17th in the nation because he's averaging 139 receiving yards per game, or 139 total all-purpose yards. A couple of those are rushes in there with some different things that they've done with him. But you know, he's just been phenomenal. I thought you would get a little more creative in what the stock up was, but I think it's just because it's so obvious.
How did you take a shot at me in this?
Well, because I was like, how can I say Drake London without just saying Drake London? I think Blitnikoff candidacy is the way I put it.
Okay, do you want your gold star shotgun?
Yeah, I'll take my gold star. Okay. I'll take everyone I can get. But yeah, he's been phenomenal this season, and he's been the offense. You know, when in doubt, throw it to Drake London and see what he can do, and that's been the USC offense. But the fun part for me watching him is that he's doing it with screens, running through tackles. He's doing it going up over people. You know, he's just doing it in a number of different ways. Chris, what about you? What's your favorite Drake London stat this season?
Do you have one?
Yes, I do. Okay. And I had to look at it real quick. It's him being one of the nation's leader in long receiving plays. Before the bye week, he was tied. I believe he was second in the nation or right off the pace for leading the whole country in receptions of at least 10 yards. And he was the same and possibly first. I have to go back and look for receptions of 20 plus yards. So he's just like an automatic first down maker, automatic chunk playmaker. You know, 20 yard difference could be the difference between a getting in field goal range and not. So that's the kind of ability he has. And I had it as Drake London respect, because I don't think anyone was really talking about Drake London like that on the national level anywhere. He wasn't on, I couldn't really find him on any national like top 10 wide receiver lists going into the season, any like draft hype lists, nothing like that. Maybe a couple, but I almost wrote a story about how is Drake London just being totally undervalued going to this year? And he was, and now he's doing all these amazing things, and we kind of all knew that he has this kind of ability, and now you're starting to see him get that draft stock bump. He's starting to pop up consistently on the new mock drafts, and this past week is the first time he's actually surpassed the other Drake Jackson in the mocks. Ooh. CBS latest mock has him as number 21 to the New Orleans Saints. Would be a really good landing spot for him, especially with that offense the way it passes. So Stocks up for stocks Drake London on the round. Did you like mine better, Drake London respect stock?
Thought that was good.
It's not last place.
Visual bet. He just pointed at me. Wow.
No. Did she see that? I thought I hit it.
One other stat from Drake London that is remarkable as far as his standing compared to everyone else is contested catches. He's got 18 contested catches. This is a PFF stat. 18 contested catches. He's caught 2/3 of the contested balls. The next closest person in the entire nation has 10. So he has 8 more. At one point, leading up, going into this last week, because USC had the bye week, but going into last week, he had double as many as the next closest person.
Wow.
That's just crazy. And it's interesting because air raid receivers do not do well in PFF grades. Like Drake London, his overall grades have really not been, you know, not been at the same par as the way he's played, the way we think he's played the last 2 years. But he is one of the top graded receivers. He's the top graded Power 5 receiver right now, which tells you he's even breaking through that. And this isn't just a Drake London thing. Michael Pittman was a Blitnikoff finalist, and his overall grade was like 81. It was the lowest grade for the only person under, I think, 85 for a receiver that had been a Biletnikoff finalist in the last like 4 years. And then before that, the only people that had been under 85 were two other air raid receivers.
Huh.
So PFF just doesn't credit air raid receivers in the same way that it does some other, for whatever reason. I don't know the exact reasoning for everything and the way they do their grades, but I think it's interesting that he's broken through that, you know, that kind of that barrier that this offense would normally place on receivers as far as that one little grade that they have. But it's interesting that he's just playing so well that no one can deny how dominant he's been.
I thought that was an interesting point, too, as far as the contested catches, that when we were watching film study one of the times about how his basketball skills, like he it's go for it. It's different.
Yeah, he just goes up and gets the ball. And, you know, a lot of former basketball players or two-sport athletes, Michael Trigg, are very good at high-pointing the ball because it's going up and grabbing a rebound. You have to go up over someone else and go make that play and secure the ball. But I think my favorite thing of this season was asking him what was his mentality, you know, when he has that one-on-one opportunity with a receiver and he's like, with a cornerback, and he says, go dunk on him. And I was like, that's a perfectly fitting response for a former basketball player. And I'll reiterate, when he came out of high school, I thought that he had the potential to be a pro in either sport, basketball or football. I thought he was really good on the basketball court too. And one of the assistant basketball coaches at the time told me, he said, I don't know if we're going to get him. And I said, that's interesting. He said, if he gets playing time his freshman year as on the football field, he's going to blow up and we're not going to get him. And that is exactly what has played out in his career. So it's interesting. I wonder what would have happened if, you know, he had a nagging ankle injury early in his football and didn't, you know, his football career and didn't play his freshman year very much. What happens then? Because, like I said, whichever sport, if he concentrated on one or the other, I thought he was going to eventually be a pro. And he's proving that for sure that he's going to do that in football. We'll see where he goes in the draft in the spring.
Yeah.
Two quick things. You had an unfair advantage picking a favorite Drake London stack because you have PFF right in front of you. You could just pick a litany of things. It probably breaks down one-handed catches with the sun to the east horizon or games when the weather is above 50 degrees. You have all these stats to choose from. So I just want to point that out.
I don't think it has all those, Chris. I have to break some of those down myself.
I don't know. Okay. Okay. And then the other thing is, how does he not have an NIL deal for a silhouette of him high pointing boy that says just dunk on him? How does he not have that shirt out already?
I don't know.
Family Feud Marketing Services, here to help.
Here to help.
We could provide that.
Yeah, we can. Hold on.
Especially since you got the quote.
Yeah, true. I mean, your voice was featured in a USC Athletics video.
That was the best video they've done.
That silky, sexy voice. I knew I recognized that voice.
As it's being masked at practice.
We all had a Drake London point, so I don't know who wants to take the next stock up. Go for it, anyone.
I'll go with the other player that I think has really boosted his stock, and I think it's under-noticed, undervalued by fans, is Tuli Tuipulotu.
Mm.
I think he's been phenomenal there. I didn't actually have a player on here, but then I was thinking, I was like, there's no way I can't come up with something for Tuli. He has been terrific. He's been so consistent. You know, other players have been up and down. Drake Jackson has had some phenomenal games. He got banged up in this Utah game and basically disappeared. Whereas Tuli has just been consistently there every game. He's doing it in, you know, in the run game. He's doing it in the pass game, getting some pressures on the quarterbacks and stuff. So he's a guy, and again, that 2020 class, we talk about how bad it is often, but he's one of the gems that has come from that class, and it was an underrated guy, as a three-star prospect coming out of Lawndale. Everyone talked about his brother when he was, when he was in high school up in Oregon, but Tuli has come on and been an absolute beast. And I thought Vic Soto telling me that it's a treat for him to have him in there and he's very lucky to have him in his room was very interesting with the other talented players that he also has in there. He said because he comes to work every single day, you know, he always has that mentality of trying to get better. And I think we've seen that from him since his Lawndale days to now. It's been really fun to watch how much he's improved since his high school days.
Yeah, I remember seeing him for the first time. I went to a game his senior year. It was like a homecoming game against Beverly Hills or something like that. And I remember looking at him and thinking, oh my God, who let this college player on the field? He looked so big already. And you could just tell like his frame was incredible. His legs were already freaking massive. And he was just super, in my opinion, under-recruited in high school. You know, just the way he's playing, I think he could play in the big the Big Ten. He could play in the SEC, but he didn't have those kind of offers coming out of high school. Maybe they just assumed, you know, Marlon's brother, he's not going to go far. USC, maybe that's why they didn't like mess with him like that. But I think he was undervalued as a three-star prospect, and I think he's showing that this year. Obviously, he's built on what he did last year, and yeah, he's a stud. And I also had Thule on here because he deserves some respect or some love for what he's doing as a sophomore.
Another obvious one. Sorry that it's not going to be a creative title, but I had stock up for Jackson Dart. There were, you know, Dart rumblings since fall camp and stuff like that. And we heard that Dante Williams wanted to have him in packages once he took over as interim, but he got a larger chance than I think anyone expected against Washington State and did the most with it and really inspired the team, I think, as well. And so obviously I think he got fans really excited for what the future of the quarterback spot looks like. And so stock up for Jackson Dart.
I had a similar thing, but I had it for stock up on QB controversy just because of how much hype Jackson had coming in, how he would deliver on that hype and like live scrimmage periods. And you're almost like, oh, this guy, you know, I think has to get on the field in some capacity. And he was trending towards getting some packages, some usage, not necessarily starting over Keaton, but they were going to use him and what he can do with his legs. And then obviously he comes in, Washington State balls out, has a couple turnovers, but doesn't matter. He's just so good. Got the offense to go to a new level. We haven't really seen out of them this year, you know, with those deep throws, just some fearlessness playing down the field. And yeah, that was, if he hadn't been injured, that's a huge what if of what the rest of the season looks like. So stock up on QB controversy, and it's still bubbling now as he continues to get healthier.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows what's going to look like for the next couple weeks.
You mean the threads that are on our board saying that, okay, now is the day. Today is the day. You're starting prep for Notre Dame. Jackson Dart needs to take all the first team reps. Is that what you mean?
That is somewhat what I mean, yes.
And I think people, USC fans, are only going to be further pushed to want to make that move when you look at Oklahoma and what Caleb Williams has done since coming in. But I do want to caution and say the one difference here. Spencer Rattler had struggled against Texas. He struggled in some other games, but he struggled against Texas. Caleb Williams came in and balled out against Texas. Keaton Slovis has not had a chance where he struggled in a game. Jackson Dart's come in and taken over. That hasn't happened. Washington State, he was in for one drive. He got knocked out. So let me caution people that Jackson Dart did all his work against a Washington State team that Keaton Slovis put up better numbers against last year. So I still think that Keaton Slovis is your starter. And, you know, Graham Harrell, the relationship he has with Keaton Slovis, I don't think that's going to change his opinion on it. I think he talks about all the things that Slovis has done this year, you know, as far as getting them in the right run plays and doing all that type of stuff. Now, does he trust Jackson Dart to do that? I don't think he does. But if Keaton Slovis is struggling in a game when Jackson Dart gets healthy and outside of the Dart package, you go, we need a spark. If you're the USC offensive coaches, I think you go to Jackson Dart. And if he balls out, then I think that's when you start having that conversation. The fact that people are already trying to make that move already, I think, is premature.
Yeah. Shout out to Caleb Williams. Bald. Peachy County boy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry.
A little sickness
so
over
sorry.
There?
Yeah. Just so, sorry.
Got just some little sickness. I wish I could, like.
From Gonzaga Prep in Washington, D.C.
I coached him.
I was actually like, really?
I did.
I don't want to believe you.
I 1,000%. He was on my swim team. I coached him when he was a little kid.
Okay.
1,000%. You think I'm joking?
You promise?
I can show you the DMs with him right now.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
You promise on Maryland.
I promise on everything Maryland.
Okay. It must be serious.
So you taught him all his moves, basically.
Swim moves, Senor Zach. Oh my gosh. Full circle.
Literal swim moves.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Literal swim moves.
Literal
yes.
swim moves. I have a couple little like sprinkles on top for the stock up, if you will. Like
some sprinkles?
Yeah, like they're not the main.
You just want to throw out a bunch of rapid just fire like, ones?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I had Justin Dedich on stock up, given that coming into the season. Dedich. Yeah, I think you need to explain that, Chris.
His nickname is Dede. And then if you watch Dexter's Laboratory, Dexter says Dede for his sister Dede. There's nothing to explain. There's just Dede.
There's nothing to explain. Yes, so I had Justin Dedich on stock up. I don't think we saw him kind of experiment at guard, but we were like, okay, is this actually going to work, or is he just going to be that second team center? And not only has he proved his worth, he's like considered an MVP in Clay McGuire's eyes and has value to the line. And for as much as USC has had to switch up things in that starting five, I think he's a valuable piece. So I had stock up for Justin Dedich. I also had stock up for Kalen Bullock. I think that's a guy who, he was a guy who in fall camp, you kind of hear the rumblings of, hey, watch out for that freshman. Like they like him. They're, you know, and that's only continued. And I've heard some things about the developmental scrimmage and the safeties that we might see more Kalen Bullock going forward. So stock up for him.
Chris, I had visibility of deficiencies.
Ooh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Because I believe that stock has risen. You know, we've talked about in the past, like, oh, USC hasn't recruited well in the offensive line. They've had struggles there. I think we're seeing the areas of deficiency so much more this season.
That's actually excellent.
We've talked about how USC still has a ton of talent, and they do. There's a lot of talent. But there are specific areas where they have really struggled to recruit, and it's really shown up this year. And especially after you lose Brandon Peely to the Achilles injury, you lose Jay Toya to transfer, you don't have a nose tackle at all because Ishmael Sopcich has been injured. Just a huge gaping hole there. And the teams that have run downhill have run it right down USC's throat. And then because they're trying to invest so many resources to stopping the run up the middle, they've been giving up the edge a lot too. So I think that you're seeing where they have struggled to recruit in the past. An offensive line, the fact that they have two redshirt freshman tackles, and they've been up and down. Hey, I want to give those guys credit because they shouldn't be in the situation. Those guys should be learning behind someone still.
Yeah.
And I think they could still become very good players at USC, but it's been a work in progress, and that's what you're going to get when you have second-year freshmen, you know, starting for you. So, but the areas of deficiency that we've seen kind of coming, you've been waiting for it. Like, is this going to hurt USC? Is this going to hurt USC? I think it's really showed itself so far this season, especially in those three losses. I think it's been very evident where that they have struggled in the past, specifically with recruiting.
Really good point, Shotgun.
So that was a Chris special, a negative stock up.
It was stock up, though. Those can happen,
it's a,
Chris.
It's a turd wrapped in a fancy wrapping paper.
Not exactly.
When does that happen ever?
Don't come to my house for Christmas.
Stock up doesn't have to be positive.
It's just...
Just up.
Up.
Anything you have any more, else, Chris?
There we go.
I just had quickly, like, USC being a good road team. You know, they're 2-0 on the road. Why are you laughing?
Just because that's one way to look at it, yes.
They're 2-0 on the road.
Yeah.
Undefeated on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Against two bad teams. Though Washington State had played well the last three games, who knows where they'll go from here after their head coach gets fired for cause, for not complying with the vaccine mandate, and also four position coaches get fired. I don't know what that team's going to do the rest of the season, but...
I acknowledge, yes, that they are bad teams, but they do seem to play with a lot more focus than they do in the Coliseum. And it's made for an interesting storyline going into Notre Dame, their first good opponent on the road.
Yeah, we shall see.
I had one left, and that was, I kind of want to bookend it with, this is going to be my final stock up, is young secondary. You know, I think Kalen Bullock, like you mentioned, has played really well at times. You know, he's made some big-time plays and some plays that make you go, whew, that guy's going to be good. Jalen Smith, I think the limited opportunities he's had is definitely, he stepped up. I mean, he's first game he gets some opportunities, first tackle. First game he gets, you know, more significant playing time against Washington State, first sack. And then he gets, the next week he gets his first interception. He's a kid that's just a playmaker. You know, he just, all the time, he's always a guy that you got to keep your eye on. Even though he's a little bit undersized, he just seems to make plays all the time. And I think some of those other young guys are coming along. On the flip side, my first stock down is old secondary, because the guys that we expected to make a lot of plays in that secondary for them have not been doing it. Whether that's the safeties, Isaiah Polamalu, I don't think has played very well. Chase Williams, I think, has played fine, but, you know, we're still expecting him to take it to another level. And if some of those other guys around him were playing better, I think that you wouldn't look at him and say that guy's really played bad necessarily. I think that he's kind of caught in the middle. Greg Johnson has not played very well. He's missed 9 tackles the last 2 games. That's just unacceptable. I think the cornerbacks outside of Isaac Taylor Stewart, I think Chris Steele has regressed this season. I think Isaac Taylor Stewart has played really well. And I think that's kind of underrated and kind of unnoticed by some fans because he struggled in that Stanford game. But the other four guys, the other four veterans in that secondary, have not played up to their potential.
Yeah, I had Chris Steele on stock down, just given the expectations we had coming into the season for him. But I like how you bookended your up and down to, you know, wiggle out of what goes in between stock and up and down.
There's nothing in between. So why would I?
There is.
Why would I wiggle anything that is not there?
Oh, it's there. It's stock neutral nation, baby. We out here. We
There's
strong.
Nothing in between. It's just two pieces of bread.
Stock neutral nation. I had two stock neutrals. One, and I think this is really good.
with a boring title.
Stop. Shush. Stop the yawning, people.
Oh, four. Was that a real yawn?
Yawn counter. No, he was making fun of
Stock neutral. Not real. I'll take that off the board.
Fan apathy. Stock neutral. You want to know why? Because there was a dip after the Stanford game. Helton gets fired. Fandom to the moon.
She's saluting us.
No, I'm not. With the fails that USC has had at home, fan apathy is back. So ultimately, I think it's up, but the historic losses have made it down.
So it's stock gone neutral. Up and down.
It's stock neutral.
And you just said, ultimately, it's up.
And
this
down.
This is a terrible.
And down.
You're just chilling on this. I'm going to let you guys handle this.
Stock. Like adults. Temp said stock neutral. Like this adults. Is a terrible one.
I like that one. And well, then you admit, I had.
Ultimately, it's up. That's. No, you're admitting
no.
the
you
stock
didn't
up.
Listen to the whole sentence.
You said ultimately it's up.
No.
Ultimately it's up. I did want to throw student section on stock up. I forgot about that. I thought about that on the drive down, but they've been rocking out.
Section is a mess.
It is.
It's just going all over the place. Definitely. He went to stock down. You went back to stock neutral. He's like, no, I'm going back to stock up. I can't deal with this.
Yeah. I have one more.
Oh,
well.
My goodness.
I'm sorry. I had stock neutral for Gary Bryant because I think he's emerged as like that second receiving option, kind of. Although he is third in receiving yards for USC. Taj Washington is actually second. I don't know. He's that the injury kind of delayed what could be for him this season, but he has been a reliable second target. So it's like kind of a mixed bag, hence stock neutral.
I just think they're not using him enough.
In what sense?
Just not getting, just, like just not getting enough looks. Just not getting enough looks, like enough deep shots towards him, or more creative ways to use him. But he does have four total touchdowns on the year. So
yeah, he has three actually.
When they get in,
he's got a rushing touchdown too.
Oh my bad.
Ooh. I do the stock. Don't come at me.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
And a 2-point conversion, I believe, as well. So
don't come at both of us.
Because it was the Washington State one, right? Yeah. Okay.
I think that. When you look at Gary Bryant, I think they are getting creative with him in the red zone. And I think that's where, you know, they were really struggling the first couple of weeks. And then when Gary Bryant came back, the red zone issues kind of subsided a little bit. Now, Utah, they weren't great there. But I think that the deep shots is what's missing. Use that speed. Get behind. They've thrown some deep shots to Taj Washington, and they haven't really done that with Gary Bryant, and they haven't really done it over the middle. They haven't looked for those deep posts, which is, I think is something that I think is a little bit missing in this offense, which is something I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown provided and Drake London as well in the slot, you know, running that seam route. And you saw some of that from Michael Trigg, you know, the seam post, the slot fades, you know, different things there. But without Michael Trigg right now for the foreseeable future, is there someone to provide that? And I think they could use speed to try to do that. They've been using big bodies, but speed isn't a weapon there. It's something I would like to see a little bit more with Gary Bryant and also Taj Washington.
So in that sense, I had stock down and I titled it Fall Camp Wide Receivers. Just because in fall camp, we were like, hey, Michael Jackson's getting some run. Oh, look at Joseph Manjack. Like, I was all on the Manjack
train.
Yeah, how's
your Manjack stock doing?
Okay, not great, okay.
But I'm in that pot with you, so I'm not like, but I've taken losses before. You're looking at my investing tight ends. I'm not.
I mean, you had a little bit more return this year.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. So I had stock down for fall camp wide receivers just because we saw more rotation. We saw a different, like, starting group than what we've seen in season this year. And so I just think those guys that we thought could have a chance to really break out on the scene didn't really.
Yeah, I think Michael Jackson was phenomenal in the spring. Now he's getting a lot of extra opportunities because of guys being injured and just the limited numbers that they had. We haven't seen him at all, basically. You know, he's played in two games by my count and only one snap in one of those games. Where has Kyle Ford been? He has graded out well on Pro Football Focus, so when I put up the midseason grade, someone asked me, why is he not playing more? The only real answer I got is a shrug of my shoulders, because I don't know. I don't know why you're not playing anymore. I mean, when he's been in there, he's been productive, and that's one of the areas where they struggled. Other guys are not being productive. Does he know the playbook? He's been in it for 3 years. I would assume he knows the playbook. No one said that, well, he needs to learn the playbook more. And he missed one game with the knee kind of flaring up on him. But besides that, he's been healthy, so don't know where he's been. Taj Washington came out on fire at the beginning of the fall camp. He's had ups and downs. I think they need to get him going because he can be dynamic, especially if they get him going in that screen game a little bit more, give him some opportunities. Other guys got to make some blocks as well on the outside. That's something they've struggled with. But, yeah, I can completely agree with this one. Just guys that we saw and said, this may can work without having Tyler Vaughns and Michael Pittman and Amon-Ra St. Brown and having those NFL guy. Is someone ready to step in and become that next guy, the next NFL player in the wide receiver position? Who's going to take over after Drake London leaves? And we saw in the fall, we're like, okay, that's a candidate. And so far this season, it's been like, they're going to be in trouble next year. And this will, be the visibility to deficiencies. You haven't recruited locally really well in wide receivers like you had been doing until 2 years ago, basically. It's something they dominated in recruiting. That's why you got the Robert Woods and Marquise Lee, and you just stack those guys on top and top and top. And they haven't done it recently. And you go, it could be bad next year. If some of these guys don't take a step forward, start catching the ball more consistently, and making some more plays.
In their defense, losing Brew McCoy was not part of the plans. And sure. I wonder what it would look like. Because he would be, you know, the guy you look to. He would be, obviously, could be putting up pretty good numbers at this point in the season. So take a lot of pressure off Drake, but obviously that was not in the plans of him having an off-field issue that, you know, has kept him off the team.
Chrissy T, stalked down.
Yeah, I was trying to do that to get it away from me, but I guess that didn't
work. But we
got
to return it back to you, yes. Right. Boomerang.
I had run defense.
Run game.
I was like, wait a minute.
Run game, yeah. Run game, other people. Good. Yeah, so that's kind of how it worded. But USC's run defense has been so inconsistent. You know, they're really struggling against good teams that can run the ball, and they can, you know, prey on bad offenses that can run the ball. You know, what they did with Colorado, completely shut them down, made them one-dimensional. But, you know, against Oregon State, against Utah, just hasn't looked pretty. Stanford, so they're getting beat up by these teams that are good and they can run the ball. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the lack of a true nose tackle has really, really hurt them. And you didn't mention it with the deficiencies, but they've also just been hit with some bad luck as well. You know, losing Brandon Peely to an Achilles tear, that's just really bad luck. Getting an Alabama transfer, Ishmael Sopcich, he just needed double leg surgery for the compartment syndrome. And then the whole wildness with Jay Toya, something that's sort of a little bit unprecedented, you know, going in the portal after having a really good spring and then going to the rival across the street, you know, he would be starting right now. So it just a lot of bad luck. And you're right. They could have recruited a little bit more depth there, but it's just been all over the place. But the second half of the season could be maybe a little bit better just because, you know, Sopcich seems like he's the healthiest he's been since he arrived. So, you know, there's reason that maybe if you want to buy into the dip, buy a little bit of that run defense stock a little bit, you know, you could get some return there in the second half of the season. So I got a scam call. Stay on me.
I hate having like individual players on.
You're leading the pack in individuals.
I don't know. I had Jalen McKenzie on Stockdown just because he's a guy who coming into this season, we thought, okay, it's a redshirt senior. He has 14 starts under his belt. That's a guy who should lock up some starting job. And he's been kind of the guy who gets swapped out for, and I mean, Jonah Monheim has kind of taken that spot. And now he played well against Washington State, but I think we just expected more from him given his seniority.
Absolutely. You know, everything you just said, seniority, experience, that was somebody they could lean on in an offensive line in transition after losing a first round draft pick. And Elijah Vera Tucker. Not saying McKenzie was expected to be a first-round draft pick, but obviously experience matters, in especially offensive line, and they had a bunch of experienced guys coming back. But yeah, just hasn't really panned out for him in his redshirt senior season.
To stick on the offensive side, I got offensive adjustments. I mean, USC has done a lot of different things this year, which I think are good. Their game planning has been adjusted. I think those are positive. Their in-game adjustments, though, their first quarter versus second and third quarters are just, you know, it's a completely different team. You know, they're just not making the same – they're not making good in-game adjustments or making in-game adjustments quick enough to counter what defenses are doing against them. And I think it's just resulting in you're seeing USC come out and play pretty well in the first quarter and sometimes through the second quarter, but the third quarter has been abysmal on both sides of the ball. And I think it starts with not making more offensive adjustments, and teams, you know, maybe they've seen USC's offense and they know what USC can do, and they're going reverting back to their, you know, their tried and true plays and the mesh play that they run all the time and the certain plays that they do. And teams are like, okay, we know how to defend that. We've been working on that all week. Whereas, you know, 2 years ago in 2019, it might have been new to them to try to defend. It's whatever the reason is, the offense has really, really struggled once defenses have made their adjustments to USC stuff and once USC kind of runs out of new plays that they've installed that week.
Chrissy T.
I, like you said, don't like doing individuals, but I have an individual, unfortunately, and that is Isaiah Polamau. I don't think anyone really expected him to be struggling like he has been through the first half of this season. You know, he is a two-time captain. He made the decision to come back for another year after last season, which he could have easily, you know, tested the waters, gone into the NFL draft. All Pac-12 caliber guy. So it's just been sort of like shocking how much he has struggled. And, you know, Craig Nivar talked a little bit about this last week, just how he's just kind of lost some confidence right now. And he's, you know, he needs to get over that. The safeties overall aren't playing well. And when your leader back there isn't confident and has struggled, you know, it kind of sets the tone for the whole group. And, you know, Shotgun, you were in that scrum, but that's just a glaring issue right now for that defense and that back end, having, you know, one of your veteran guys not playing well.
Yeah, I think he's the one guy that if he bounces back in the second half, he's the one player that will make the biggest impact if he bounces back. You know, bad first half, can you bounce back and recover during the second half? Put a bunch of good tape on, you know, in the second half, and I think that he can re-up his stock. But I think the team overall, if any one player jumps back to their potential, I think it's him that will change the team dynamic the most.
Well put.
I have one more, and it's obvious, and I think we've mentioned this a lot on our individual pods. I had home atmosphere. I think you said the aura or something the other week, Shotgun.
The Coliseum aura.
The Coliseum aura. Just because, I mean, I haven't seen just games at the Coliseum be this abysmal back to back to back. It is just weird. And I can only imagine what it's like for USC fans. So I just had stock down on that because, you know, the whole protect our house, protect the collie, that's just out the window this season so far.
Yeah, I think expectations. I think that's one of the ones that I had. Chris, you may want to jump in on the Coliseum, but just expectations overall. Like, even this season, when they came in, you go, well, they got some areas where they could struggle, but they could still, like, this schedule sets up really well for them. They should be able to, you know, this could be a potential. And people were, before the season, going, fans that were not Clay Helton fans, USC fans that didn't like Clay Helton, were going, oh no, are they gonna make it to the Pac-12 championship and maybe even win that because their schedule's so easy? The expectations now are like, can they beat anyone? You know, Arizona is a team they're going to beat. But other than that, are they going to be able to win any more games? Are they going to be able to get bowl eligible? Whereas before the season, is like, you know, they might go 11-1. They could even go undefeated with the talent they have, blah, blah, blah. And that has not been the case at all. I think I had much higher expectations for this team, and we're seeing that those deficiencies have really, you know, reared their head, as well as some other things. But you know, even when Clay Helton was fired, they were like, well, we think we can salvage the season. And I kind of agree with that. Like, yeah, if they turn some things around, they be more accountable, some of the things Dante Williams initially talked about, yeah, maybe they can turn this around. but it has not been the case. So I think the expectations for this team right now are down. And I don't know about the program overall. We'll see when the new head coach is hired. But at least for this season, the expectations are way, way, way stocked down compared to where they were before the season.
USC, it's interesting. USC has the talent to win out every game on their schedule. But they also have, like, the whole vibe of the team right now is like, will they even get to six wins? That's how it is. You have to look hard for those six wins. Even though we know talent-wise, they can win every game on the rest of their schedule. So it's very weird. It's a very weird dynamic.
Yeah.
Which I think leads me to my final stock down.
Oh,
which
nice
is,
transition. Transitions are hard. Transitions are hard. He's making it look easy.
Which is team chemistry.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Team chemistry is huge in college football. And pretty much all sports. But particularly college football, when you have 100 players on a team, when if everyone's pulling in the same direction, you have a much different team than if some people are upset in the locker room or some people are, should I transfer? I don't know if the new coach is going to like me. Do I have a better opportunity somewhere else? You know, these coaches, you know, is there a Texas versus California thing going on in the locker room? You know, those type of, there's a lot of chemistry issues that have kind of been, you know, kind of hear things. You're like, is that an issue or not? And it just seems like more and more things are bubbling up. And you can see the way some players don't get helped up on the field. Or some players, you know, are complaining on the sideline. Or a veteran comes over and says, hey, come, we're going to cheer on the offense now. And you still sit on the bench. You know, things like that are indicative of bigger issues in the locker room. And if, you know, taken instance by instance, you go, maybe that's something, maybe it's not. It's probably not anything. But then you start seeing these things one after another, after another, after another. Yeah. And the way they're playing, and it doesn't seem like they're always playing for each other, that tells me there's chemistry issues in there. Even though, you know, I think that the defensive staff has really tried to push things. Yeah. It just feels divided. It feels divided as a team that, you know, sometimes it's the 11 guys are on the field and you got the rest of the guys on the bench. It doesn't feel like they're playing for that group that's on the bench, or they're playing for, you know, the name that's on the back of the jersey versus the one that's on the front. You know, the old saying, obviously that doesn't work at USC. But, you know, it feels like some people are out for their own and, you know, it's not everyone's trying to do their best. And I think you see that sometimes too when coaches talk about they're just trying too hard. They're trying to do too much. Craig Nivar said, you know, what do you guys got to do to play better? Not try to do everyone else's job. You know, rely on just doing your job, doing your 1/11th, and being trusting that the other 10 guys on the field are going to do their job. And it feels like some guys are like, no, I got to do something else, or I got to make this big play, instead of just, you know, realizing if I do my part, everyone else is going to do their part, and we'll all, you know, it'll be successful. They don't trust that that's going to happen. And I think that all comes back to team chemistry.
Well done, Shoddy. I'm being very nice to you on your points today, Shotgun. It's a little weird. I guess that's what happens when you actually do well on this podcast. Just kidding. That's a Shotgun comment. That's a Shotgun comment. Wow. I'm just kidding.
Get him.
Alrighty, let's transition into some questions. This one's a fun one, and it's from Gomez in Bakersfield. He says, hello, Family Feud. Question for the gang. It's a 4 wide receiver set, and your wide receivers are Robert Woods, Marquise Lee, Michael Pittman, and Drake London. Who's receiver number 1, and where are they being placed in the formation? Your quarterback is Sam Darnold. Thank you for your guys' great work, and fight on, Gomez in Bakersfield.
Well, that's a really good question.
I told you.
Lee, Pitt outside, London.
Robert Woods?
Woods inside.
Yeah, I think that's what I would go with, too. Because Robert Woods is so dynamic in the slot already, Marquise Lee has the speed to stretch the defense. You use the big body of Pittman on the other side. I would obviously put London and Pittman on opposite sides.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use the big body in different ways if you want, up the seam or different ways there. I think it's who's wide receiver 1. Now, typically your wide receiver 1 is your outside receiver. But the guy I'm looking to the most, if I'm Sam Darnold in this situation, is Robert Woods. He's just always open. He's so smooth with it. He's probably my favorite player that I've ever watched at USC during my time, just because he's just silky. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not anything. He doesn't win any category except being open all the time. He just great routes, great everything, and friendly guy. You know, one of the nicest people that you'll meet. So that makes him that much more
can't speak to the friendly part because I'd never met him, but Robert Woods is also my answer. And he just said everything that needs to be said. Oh. And I would love, if I was the safety or a cornerback in that scenario, I'm just pissing down my leg. I'm just shaking and like a scared dog.
Diving at legs. Just diving at legs over here.
We got a question from our buddy Gustavo, who said, the running backs are running pretty well when given the chance. Who do you think, do you think USC will have a 1,000-yard rusher this year looking at you, Keontae Ingram? So if you look at where USC sits right now, Keontae Ingram has 419 yards. The next closest is Vavae at 2 with 222.
Spoiler, this was actually a take it or leave it.
Oh, had, Gustavo, same page with you.
It's fine. You guys can answer it here. It was just take it or leave it. Keontae Ingram gets the 1,000-yard mark, rushing mark.
What was that face,
Keely? I'm thinking hard. It's hard because I don't think USC is going to jump out to leads. And like you've complained about, like once they feel like they're down, they just abandon the run. And so I don't know if Keontae will be afforded that opportunity necessarily.
If he gets 14 carries like he's done the last three games, I think he will. If he averages 14 carries a game the rest of the season, I think he'll get there because he's getting at least 70 yards every game. At 14 carries, and I think he'll have a couple where he's getting big yardage, but it's going to be really close. And then there's always the possibility of a running back injury, so it's hard to say that it's going to happen. I'm going to be optimistic and take it and say that Keontae does get there, even though if I was betting on it, I probably wouldn't.
I don't think it was a take it or leave it, but I'm glad you took it.
Well, he said it was a take it or leave it.
I made it a take it or
okay,
leave it.
Okay, okay.
A dual threaded there.
Okay. I'm going to...
Your dual threat?
Leave it. I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Just based on precedent and just how things are going. I'm going to leave it.
She visual bitted and...
Hand motion.
Hand all over
I gestured everywhere. We got a question from Esoteric Simpleton who said, I don't think Coach O makes sense as a head coach, but how likely would it be for him to return in some other capacity, defensive coordinator, D-line, recruiting coordinator, etc.?
He has a lot of baggage right now.
Yeah.
And didn't he come out and say he's not coaching in 2022?
I don't know that I saw that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
There is a lot of tension to begin with Coach O and USC, let alone to come back in a limited capacity. I don't think that would really go over well. And like Chris said, the whole baggage thing, I think this admin is very aware of that and does not like just baggage in general and like PR in general. And I don't think they would want to touch that.
I don't know, but depending on whoever the new head coach is, that might be somebody I'd reach out to. And now obviously you got to get your boss's approval in the athletic department to do that. But at least reach out and say, hey, would you have any interest coming back? I know they did you dirty before. Let's make amends type of thing. But I think on Coach O's side, I think he kind of needs some time away to rehab the image. And, maybe that's if he wanted to come to L.A., maybe that's being, someone on the support staff. One of those, the video guys that Nick Saban does so well with bringing in former head coaches and having them on the staff, being able to break down film and be an analyst in behind the scenes type of thing. So he's not facing the public, facing the media all the time. He's a guy that's up in the booth or whatever during games. So his face isn't constantly there, but he could be contributing to an organization, a college football program still.
I just had the image when you said video guy of just Coach O filming one of the guys who films like the drills, like what?
No, he's actually up on the
that makes
bellowing down. Coach O, we can't hear you from there.
Yeah,
we definitely can't understand you. No, but I could see him, as a potential as an analyst behind the scenes. So I think not necessarily at USC, but I think if he wanted to still be a part of the game next season,
you
I
mean
think
Alabama.
If you wanted to go to Alabama, I'm sure that Nick would take him.
Nick. First name basis?
Well, I'm not calling him Coach Saban like all the media there.
How dare you, Sean?
Dion.
Oh, I thought you were doing a bit like longer.
No, because Deion Sanders walked away from his media availability at conference media day because someone called him Dion instead of Coach or Prime.
Why didn't you visual bit that, though? That would have been great.
Coach Prime Dion.
That sounds like a Transformer. Just like, yeah. Alrighty, we have one voluntarily take or leave it. A volunteered take or leave it that Chris, I will leave it to you to take.
We actually have two.
Oh, we have two. Right. Because you got DM one as well. Well, on that note, Chris T, it's time to toss it over to you. It's time for some take it or leave it.
Meh.
What does that mean?
Yeah, okay. I forgot to prep you guys for this, so we're just kind of winging it a little bit.
Chris, don't pull the curtain back.
No, I...
It's usually...
There's no curtain. It's a shower curtain, and it's got holes in it, and it's like...
Chris just goes, shotgun agree with whatever I say. And I go, what? And then we start. So, oh, no. He's reaching into the bag. He's like Mary Poppins.
You're Mary Poppins.
Oh, or like Seven. What's in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the bag?
It's much different.
Oh, the Brad Pitt?
Yeah, much different.
Movie reference that I got.
Oh, crap. What is going on here?
Guys, you know, it's the bye week.
We're
out of the spotlight a little bit. Do you guys ever, like, miss the fans, even though you guys are on a break or whatever?
What?
Shotgun, have you ever, just put it this way, Shotgun, have you ever thought, I wish I could take our fans, you know, outside this little studio, outside of the little box in Instant Analysis?
In the
and bring them
so
in,
fat,
bring
right?
them into your world. Have you ever thought that?
Nope.
I should have prepped you. Because same. Same in that, yes, I have. So that's why we have a huge shout out to our latest FCS fake corporate sponsor.
Ooh. Oh, no. I don't know what's happening right now. He's reaching into the bag again. I have to like play by play this.
Yep.
He's strapped on a GoPro to his head.
It should be blinking red. I can't hear myself. Twitch. Twitch is our new FCS. So as you can see, I am live streaming Point of View, our new Twitch channel, The Feud, where we will have exclusive real world, sorry, just getting your good side, real world live streams. Wow. Here's just a taste of some of the exclusive content you can get. October 29th. We will be live streaming Keely at Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, goodness.
She will faint. It guaranteed will happen. November 8th, Shotgun will be live streaming himself doing an oil painting of Keaton Slovis. And you can live stream me tonight as I make my dinner. And by make my dinner, I mean microwaving soup because that's all I can fucking eat right now.
Good soup?
Take Family Feud fandom to the next level and leave our privacy behind. Twitch, you can legally watch people sleep on here and we're the weirdos.
Wow.
All right, thank you to F. I'm trying to keep my, because I can't keep the thing on. I hope it's recording. Okay,
the
awesome.
The red light is beeping.
Awesome. No one gave me any indicator. You're laughing like hyenas. Can't even give me a, like, can't what? Even give me a, you're all clear here. I got a lot of these, so let's just run through them. Do you want to do the fan ones first, or do you want to do the corporate ones?
You're the director. Segment.
Okay, let's just start with the fan ones. Michael Belzy, I think I said that right. Take it or leave it, USC beats Notre Dame on the road, but loses to Arizona.
I talked about this with Ryan. This is so USC. This is such a USC thing to do. Just complete opposite. What?
So your answer is?
Oh, sorry. I saw the camera at me. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's still
recording.
Yeah,
we're live streaming.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Goodness, that's called tunnel vision. Goodness. I really want to tease this. Like,
want to tease everything.
Sure, but this one in particular. I'm going to take this.
Oh.
Look at that.
No, leave this. They're not losing to Arizona. Even if they beat Notre Dame.
No, it's on record. It's on record. It's already on the ether. You can't cut it.
Oh, no.
Okay, so a take, hard take, and a leave.
I guess.
This one went to me specifically, Steve Curry at Scurry N. USC declines a bowl bid if they are eligible.
I don't think it's in the same sphere that you can just decline it because of COVID issues.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave this one. I think they'll go.
I'm gonna leave it as well.
Especially if it's the Bahamas Bowl.
Shout out to the Bahamas.
They don't have that connection, but especially if it's the Los Angeles Bowl, because then you don't really have much travel costs either.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's get into the corporate ones.
Alrighty.
Some of these are pointed toward looking towards the back end of the schedule.
Okay.
So Rajon Davis will start a game this season.
Ooh, start. I'm gonna take it.
Ooh, spicy. Shotgun's thinking about it a little bit.
Like randomly.
I'll leave it.
Okay.
Gotta get in rotation first before I'm willing to throw that in there.
Okay. Yeah, six games. Ishmael Shropshire will get at least 30 snaps against Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Leave it. I don't think he's conditioned for that yet.
I'm going to leave it as well.
Okay.
But I will say he plays.
Oh.
That was too easy, so I had to go a little
bit. That was a take or leave it earlier, right?
We've talked about who plays first, him or Jackson Dart. Maybe they come at the same time and it's a wash. Or and if
wait,
he will,
they're going to come in the same play? So it's the Jackson Dart package with Ishmael Shropshire as a fullback?
Let's
what,
go.
Chris?
Or Jackson Dart as a linebacker?
Oh,
look at that. Snap.
We will see a new, take it or leave it, we will see a new O-line arrangement against Notre Dame.
I'm going to take this. Because we saw some differences.
Saw some tinkering.
Yeah, and I asked with my beat report with Clay McGuire, I asked about it, and he said it was just cross-training guy. Sorry, hold on.
I'm just squaring her up. I can't really tell.
Chris has no idea where he's filming.
Yeah, I don't.
And then suddenly he forgets, and suddenly he remembers that he has a camera on his head, and so I'll be talking, all of a sudden he just like swings around and like points his head camera at me. I asked Clay McGuire about it, and he said, you know, sometimes guys get hurt, and I think Cortland Ford was a little banged up, but I think they're going to mix a little bit, which is interesting just because McGuire has said, like, I wish we have our starting five at this point, and, like, no. But the fact that we saw more things and it was a bye week, I'm, like, doing a shotgun and talking myself into a whole circle about this. I'm going to take it.
I've taught you well. I shall leave this.
Okay. Drake London will be a unanimous All-American.
Take it.
Only 27 in school history.
I'm going to take it.
He will be the 28th, you're saying.
Did he stutter?
Nope. Take it or leave it. The final result for USC Notre Dame will be closer than any of the Stanford, Oregon State, or Utah losses.
Leave it.
Take it.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely going to be closer than that. What?
I see, okay, normally I think I would take it, but if there was like a PFF stat for like smackability, meaning like how
smackability,
give me a second to explain it.
I'm waiting on this.
Like,
I like it.
Resiliency. Like you get smacked in the mouth a little bit. How do you come back and fight? You know, they had a good smackability rating against Washington State and we haven't seen that since.
High smackability. Okay.
The thing is, I think it's going to be closer because I don't think USC is going to win by that much.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Huh?
Make sure I'm getting all this.
Stop recording.
I'm live streaming it.
No, you're not.
Chris, you can explain to her if you like.
He's picking them to win.
You didn't take it back in the couple back ones.
Because he didn't take it because it came with an Arizona loss at home.
Oh, got it. Weird. Okay.
Okay. Kalen Bullock will lead the team in interceptions.
Where does he stand right now?
One. Everyone's at one. I believe everyone is at one. Josh Jackson, two, because he got robbed of one. But
true.
Everyone's at one going to the final six.
I'm going to take it. I'm very just like, I'm just.
Yeah, this is the
gut
most.
Feel.
I'm going to leave it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take Isaac Taylor Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Huh, okay.
It's just my pick.
We're keeping on that same theme. Corey Foreman will lead the team in sacks. He's at 1.5. Oh.
Drake's at 3, and Drake's going to have more opportunities and produce more.
He said it.
Drake's getting a pressure about 15% of the time, which is the best on the team. So.
There you go.
Okay. USC will have at least one second team all Pac-12 selection at O-line at minimum.
One second team?
At least a second team selection.
At least a second team.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
I will take it as well.
Voorhees?
Yep. That's who I'm looking at. At least a second team. Could be first team.
Okay, and finally, our national 247 college reporter, Brandon Marcello, had an interesting tweet this weekend after the LSU parting ways with Coach O. He said LSU,
kind of a weird situation,
calling LSU the top opening job in college football, and I quote, USC is not even a close number two.
Oh, then what is number two?
No, they are number two.
Oh, but it's not close. I am sounding very dumb these last 5 minutes. Yes.
So are you taking or leaving that statement?
This is interesting because we talked to Bruce Feldman about this yesterday on the pod about like how
yesterday.
Guys, my brain
days
is
go
turning
long
up.
For her.
They do. And I feel like it's more of a I'm sorry, Chris's like intense filming face is so funny to me. I feel like it's more of a rebuild.
It's just my face, because my face is doing the filming, so I don't know what to tell you.
I think it's more of a rebuild than I think
USC.
USC. Then isn't anticipated. And I think it goes back to your stock up that you had, Shotgun, about visible deficiencies, like things that we warned were going to make an impact in a negative way are actually happening. And so and I argued this with Ryan, is like, yeah, can you work the conference to your favor where you end up in a Pac-12 championship, you win that, you get to a higher bowl game, et cetera. Yeah. But can you build a foundation of like, we're going to get to the CFP and not get smacked around? I think that takes much longer. And so it depends on what the coach wants. I'm roundabout right now, but
losing it.
Is that take it or leave it?
I'm actually going to leave it because I think LSU, the expectations are so high and the leash is so short that like, look at Coach O, won a national championship 2 years ago, you know? And I think it'll seem better to a coach who wants to prove himself. I'm talking in circles right now. I'm leaving it. That's my choice.
Yeah, that was a big roundabout there. Yeah. That was a pretty good one. I'm going to leave it because the difference is it's easier to win in the Pac-12 than in the SEC West, where Nick Saban still resides.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe they go out and get Jimbo Fisher, but Jimbo Fisher is also there. I think he's going to do a good job with the Texas A&M program. Arkansas, I think, is on the rise. Ole Miss is doing well with Lane Kiffin. So there's not a bunch of teams you can beat up on in the West. You know, you can beat up on Mississippi State right now. That's about it. So I think there's just a much tougher job there, and with the expectations, like Keeley said. But I think Coach O wouldn't have been run out if there wasn't a lot of other things going on besides just the on-field performance. So I think that USC is a more favorable job in that regard because you're in a fertile recruiting ground. You are the premier program in the West, and if you act like it, you should take over the Pac-12 once again. Maybe you're competing with Oregon every year or someone from the North, but you should be the team from the South that should be dominating with the natural advantages that you have and the historic tradition and everything else at USC. But we'll see if the next coach comes in and actually provides all those things.
Chris was like,
I just wanted the slow zoom. I wanted to make it cinematic. I saw him rounding that point. I was like, "Ooh, this is good. This is a good shot. This is a good shot."
I just like how Chris is holding his headphones.
Like, well, it's good. I can't put them. Wait. Oh.
Oh. I wish there was someone recording you right now because this is incredible.
I'm embarrassed, but I'm holding my head high, mainly because the camera is on here and I must show the world what is happening. Oh, those are my corporate ones. Thank you, Twitch. Again, you can check our Twitch channel at The Feud and see our full slate of events and scheduled live streams. Shotgun, looking forward to that painting.
Not any type of artist. I have no artistic ability
at all.
It's
going to be a big old stick figure with
no
a
musical ability at all.
With a football.
Nice. With a football, yes. Yeah. Let's run through some fun ones. I have quite a list, but it's not as daunting as it seems. All of them, since I'm sticking on the Halloween theme. So we're going to run through some candy. But first, something you showed me right before this program started that I want to start with. UNLV has recently obtained...
obtained.
Purchased.
Seized it.
Purchased a sideline turnover hype slot machine where you ka-ching it and it wins every time.
Which apparently is difficult to do.
Which apparently is difficult to do. So taking or leaving the UNLV sideline slot machine...
I'll
that
take
costs
it.
$60,000.
It costs $60,000?
Which is the part that is mind-blowing to me because they don't pay their coaches that well there. They are one of the low-end as far as the investments they've made in the program. Now, they have made some investments recently. They have a new facility that just opened up this year, I believe. $60,000 for a sideline prop?
Are you telling me that's not an investment?
That is.
We're talking about it. On this national podcast, we're talking about it.
That is true. Valid point.
That's... way too much money.
All right. So you're leaving the price tag, but you're taking the idea.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Come on. I want to see Connor Murphy. I want him to throw the helmet off, the mullet flying after a big sack or sack fumble. I want that to happen. And, you know, maybe Clayton Bradley after a big pancake block. He's come over the sideline. So two former USC players that are at UNLV. Unfortunately, that's a winless team, I think you said, Chris.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know if I said that.
Ryan said that. Sorry.
No cha-ching there.
All right. Candy, Halloween themed, October. I found a list of the top 10 rated worst candies.
Worst candies.
So they're top rated worst.
Yes. Okay. These are the top 10 worst rated candies. We're starting from 10 to the number one. You're just going to take it or leave this candy.
Okay? Let's go.
Which is going to be quick and painless.
Leave it.
All right. And if you have a connection to this candy, you can let me know.
Okay.
Because I got one I'm going to let you know about. All right.
Okay.
Number 10, Baby Ruth.
It's all right. Like, it's like you're in the bottom of the bag after Halloween, and you're like, I want something. Okay, I guess I'll have a
So you're
root.
Taking it? You're begrudgingly taking it? Like,
it's
if it's there.
It's a desperation take,
okay,
yes.
Okay, okay.
It's not a desperation. I'll take it because it's named after Babe Ruth, for one.
A classic show.
Baseball nerd. Okay. Yeah,
it's my dad's favorite candy bar.
Oh, okay. Chris just
That's
dropped.
On camera. That was on live.
Spooky season.
Spooky season.
Chris just dropped the mic and it sounded like
a ghost screeching in the distance. He was like, I want the baby room. I hope you keep that in.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, moving on. Fun dip.
Take it.
Oh, take
Love
it.
Love fun dip.
Ooh, no. Too much sugar. No. It's just
tactile.
That's pure. The point.
No, just too much.
Did you use the stick or did you just pour it straight in?
Oh,
no.
you're a straight pour boy.
Nope. Yeah, you are.
Nope. I was all about the
lies.
Stick.
Oh,
yep. What?
No, I can't see that.
Cannot see it at all.
No. Yep.
I'm surprised you guys are both 2 for 2 on these. Okay.
Fun dip.
Almond Joy.
Take it.
Oh, interesting.
Is that the one with the coconut in it?
Yes. Yep. And milk chocolate instead of dark chocolate.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. I can eat that.
Mounds is the same, except it doesn't have the almond, and it's dark chocolate.
Big candy guy over here.
No.
Big candy expert. 3 for 3. Good and Plenty.
Oh,
what that
one
is.
That's
right?
A licorice, right?
No, no.
The pink and white?
The box is pink. I thought they were like Mike and Ike's, but you
no,
could
no.
be.
They're Mike and Ike, except they're licorice, right?
Yes.
They're
okay.
Yes, yes.
So,
leave.
Yes.
Leave.
Okay.
Leave as well.
Oh, first one. You guys are lockstep right now.
Look at this.
Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, take.
Oh, I thought you were going to go leave on that.
I'm a big Tootsie Roll gal growing up. That was my thing.
I'm okay with Tootsie Roll, especially in 1992 with the dance.
Okay.
Tootsie Roll.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I found
it. Oh, that's before your time. Yeah. And then she knew the song.
I was
How
one.
How does that work?
I was one.
Take it.
We've entered the top five, ladies and germs.
Okay.
Peppermint Patty.
Oh.
Leave it.
Wait. Like York?
Yes.
Oh, take it.
I don't like peppermint.
Peppermint makes me sneeze, but
sneeze?
I'll
so
endure
weird.
What is it, pepper to you?
I
There's
know
no
why.
Pepper in peppermint.
It
is
makes
there?
Me sneeze.
Oh my God, is there?
I don't know.
I don't like mint flavored stuff, so. Outside of actual circular peppermints. Those are okay.
Okay.
Number 4, Tootsie Roll Pop.
Take.
Oh, take that
the
as
classic
well. Yeah.
Owl commercial.
Yeah. How many licks does it take to get
this? I was shocked to see this up there. I don't know.
Yeah. What is that about?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe the commercial's annoying. Number 3, candy corn.
Leave.
Okay. This is going to be so controversial.
Oh, no.
This is going to be so controversial.
For Sean Rose
I was about
in particular.
To say.
leave.
He's gonna come for us, but I'm leaving it. It is wax little bits that don't wax classify as candy. You heard me.
We're not talking about like my little bits on this show.
No.
No, we're not.
It's just I don't get it. I try to like it. I can't.
All candy is artificial, but it's the most artificial candy you can like think of.
Yes.
Peeps are up there too.
Oh, but peeps are good.
Yeah. That's
about to be on this list?
No.
There's some Halloween peeps. Those are terrible.
Oh.
Leave.
That was just so sad. Just so smushed. Just
volunteering your own. Yeah. Take or leave it.
Number two, Butterfingers.
Butterfinger used to be my favorite candy bar. So I would still take it because I can only eat it in the small fun size. It just gets way too stuck in my teeth.
I hate Butterfingers.
I don't think I have enough experience with Butterfinger to have a full like take on this, but I think I'm going to leave it.
No one lays a hand on my Butterfinger. Bart Simpson. Classic.
Classic line.
Classic.
Not a good candy.
Classic advertisement. Got me.
This is number one, and I didn't really know what this is, so maybe you guys have more experience. Necco wafers.
Oh, that is a good bad number one.
I don't know what those are.
They're like little like coins.
She just stuck her tongue out and was like, "Oh, I got on camera."
They're basically
like cardboard coins. With a hint of flavor.
They're basically like candy Tums.
Yeah. Ooh. No, Tums taste better than Necco wafers.
Probably so. Yeah. It's like
Is this like a regional thing? Is this like all over? I've never heard of these.
What?
We're going to get you Necco wafers for the next pod, and you're going to have a live tasting. Ugh. It's horrible.
That'll be the next live stream.
Yeah. Necco wafers and Nilla wafers are like the same category in my mind. They're just like discs of bleh.
Nilla wafers are good.
What? No.
Okay, well.
One's a cookie.
The caveat is that one time.
The hell are those?
I just showed Chris a picture of Necco
wafers.
That
looks like Play-Doh.
No, it looks like Tums. This is what it looks
like.
Yes,
but it
candy Tums.
Looks like the dried Play-Doh.
True. It's not very good.
Yawn.
Oh.
Four. And that's it, guys. Thank you for running through those lists with me. You guys are pretty lockstep all the way.
I have a couple other candy questions here.
Okay, you can just throw them out.
You've already started me on this.
Yeah,
okay.
I've already.
Wait.
Tootsie Roll Pops or Blow Pops?
Both.
I think I'm a Tootsie.
Oh, no. It's either or.
Tootsie.
Tootsie Roll.
Just because of the iconic commercial with the owl.
Mm. Marketing really got you?
Big owl. Big pop.
Okay.
Big pop, yeah. Big lollipop.
And then how do you feel about Smarties?
No. I don't like a chalky candy.
That's similar to Necco
Literally
wafers.
Literally Necco wafers.
Okay, well, thank you
Smarties
for letting
me
know.
Smarties are a little bit better, though.
Smarties are okay. It's like a...
With the necklace.
Hit or miss. Wait, are those... No, those are different, right?
Yeah, those are different. And then Sweet Tarts versus Shock Tarts.
What are the difference?
One's shocking.
Okay,
sweet, one's sour.
Neither.
Shock Tarts have a harder outside candy shell than Sweet Tarts as well.
Not about it.
Sweet Tarts are my favorite candy, so...
Oh, interesting. Is that the necklace?
No.
It's not the necklace. What's the necklace, then?
It's a candy necklace. I don't know what they're called.
We need to find out the substance of the candy necklace. Is this also when I yell and one?
Yeah, if you want.
And what?
Oh. Wow.
Yeah?
What celebrity would you want to take a cross-country trip with?
Beyonce, done. Thanks for listening to the Family Feud podcast.
That'd be terrible, actually.
That would be terrible?
Shotgun's rattling, I'm about to send you to the moon.
Are you saying...
Don't start. For the sanctity of our friendship, you better not say anything.
Picking Beyonce is terrible?
You better not.
No, have Beyonce as your cross country.
Shotgun's rattling.
No, the feud just got real.
Oh.
It was all a bit. Now it's not real.
It's going down.
I'm scared.
I don't know.
Wow, he doesn't even have an answer.
Cannot be dead. So we're doing only alive. I'm limiting that a little bit. Beyonce, you're doing it. It's great.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
What's with these motions? These Beyonce motions over here.
Yeah.
My first thought was Matthew McConaughey, but I feel like that would get old
in a Buick?
Real quick.
In a Buick?
Well, of course. We get free sponsorship. So I don't really have a great answer.
Beyonce or Oprah or Adele are my three choices.
Okay. If Beyonce's not available.
Hey, This is a decisive mood right. for me right now.
I really got nothing.
Got Shotgun, nothing.
You're so boring.
Not even like an athlete?
Oh, my goodness.
He's stumped.
Let's go like Obama or something. I don't know. I just think he'd be an interesting person to pick his brain. Because that's what I think this whole trip is about, is who's interesting to pick their pick their brain
trip.
For a cross-country trip. Also, who's going to do some driving?
Mm.
I'm going to do like 80% of the driving. That's normally my cross-country trips.
You just need that little 20% push.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a good point. It's a great point. Great point.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer. Sorry.
Yet you criticize me.
Well, that's your answer's not good.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, this is going to go sideways real quick.
How do you think riding in a vehicle with Beyonce? She's used to being in like limos and private jets all the time.
She's a down-to-earth girl, Shotgun.
She's going to ride in your Honda Accord.
Okay, maybe. We have good music. Let me be.
She's only going to want to listen to her music.
That's great.
Which I understand that that's fine with you. That would be really terrible for me.
That's why it's not your pick. It's my pick.
It's still a bad pick.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's it for me.
Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up. We have a rivalry matchup to cover this week. USC heads to South Bend.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me and you still going at it.
Oh, so. That's just all season long. Are you wrapping me up right now? That's going to wrap it up for the Family Feud podcast. That's Shotgun. I'm Keely. Oh, and that's Chris. Sorry, Chris. We'll see you next time. Bye.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.